and this is Coast Community Radio. KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Squamish, East Side New York, West Side Story, anywhere in the world. Across the river. Wishing everybody a happy holiday weekend, starting tonight with Passover. But also, well, I'll get to that in a second. First, I want to give a big thank you to our underwriters. Arts Live and Local is coming up right now with Carol. And Arts Live and Local is brought to you in part by Columbia River Coffee Roaster, wholesaling fresh roasted coffees since 1992 at 279 West Marine Drive, the old Finnish meat market, with Three Cups Coffee House up front, espresso, coffee, homemade baked goods, Wi-Fi, and gifts open every day. And Arts Live and Local is brought to you in part by the Astoria Art Loft, offering rental studios, classrooms, gallery space, art classes, and workshops. Located at 106 3rd Street above Dots and Doodles. Open 10 to 4 Tuesday through Saturday, 503-325-4442 and AstoriaArtLoft.com. Thanks for being here today on this, oh my God. Goodness, 57 degrees? Wow. Who cares if it's cloudy or rainy when it's 57 degrees? But the weather is good. It's a little overcast, but lovely. And it's another hot weekend. Going to start out with some music dedication. Got a lot of dedications this week, but this one goes out to Ireland. And here's a piece by Paul McAdam that I picked up from him when I was there in Ireland. And this is called Forsaken Land. It's 20 years ago, the 1998 Good Friday Peace Agreement. Here is something to celebrate on Good Friday.
I was born in the land of the Emerald Isle. The place hasn't changed now for quite a long while. The people's concerns are why I write the songs. If you lend me an ear, I won't keep you long. In the year 1998, agreement was signed here that coupled our fate. After 900 years filled with turmoil and strife, we're suddenly promised a new lease of life. Are they trying to deceive us with methods they think we'll be too blind to see? Will they forget that they're people just like you and me in a forsaken land? Will they try to appease us with the dangling of carrots and scraps? Are we expected to scrimp while the bosses get fat in this forsaken land? Well, it's hard to believe after all we've been through. This lease of life offered could really be true. A question exists among this working class. Is a socialist republic a thing of the past? Don't let them deceive us with methods only they think we're too blind to see. Remind them the people just like you and me in a forsaken land.
Yeah. 1998. Will it really last? Is it really true? Well, we hope so. Hasn't been easy, and probably never will be. But you got people singing about it, and I appreciate that. It's a good way to learn our history lessons. So, speaking of lessons, I have with me my first guest who has been directing. I don't know. We'll find out from him. I hear sometimes directors say, once the play starts, I'm done. But we'll see what Edward James has to say. And Edward has been directing See How They Run. And it opens tonight at the Astor Street Opry Company. And my question was, are you done?
In 4 hours, I will be done.
Oh, I see.
The show opens, I will be done. Except if there's some little thing that has to be taken care of during the run of the show.
Right, of course. Yeah. Do you attend every performance?
No.
Oh, okay.
A lot. Especially in the beginning.
This is a long run. Tonight until April 28th.
Yeah, 12 performances, which gives a play a chance to make some money. The longer you run a play, okay, the better it is, because all the overhead's in the beginning of a run.
Okay.
And if a play catches on, then you have an opportunity to capitalize on that. And it's a new policy for the Astor Street Opry Company.
I was wondering, because when I saw those dates, I thought it was a misprint. Because the only one I know who runs things long is the Coaster. And that's
right,
often because they do holiday shows and things like that. But
yeah, it's the longest run I can recall. I've done two other shows there that I think were probably 7 or 9
mm-hmm,
performances. Mm-hmm. So it's a good long run. And
it's quite a commitment for the actors.
Yeah, it is.
And
yeah,
crew.
I ran a theater that we did 50 show runs. Actors love it.
But wait, were those actors paid?
Yes.
Ah,
yes, yes.
Minor difference.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
is all
but still, the ability to make it part of your schedule.
Absolutely.
You come in every
yes,
week, you, at the same time, yes, you do this. Actors loved it. It's
I can
a great,
imagine.
Great training ground.
I know when I used to do theater, we often developed PDSD, post-dramatic stress disorder,
yeah,
because you work so hard to develop a play. You do it sometimes just once.
Right.
And sometimes maybe 2 weekends, and
right,
then you're done. And it's like you've got this family you've been working with and going into a character, into the show, and so much work. And then, so
cast,
I like this.
Casts yeah, do normally become a kind of family, and the mm-hmm, set does become a real place, you know.
Absolutely. So Astor Street Opry is right on Bond Street. It's where many people think of Shanghai and Astoria, but they've branched out quite a bit. It's been happening over the last few years. This play sounds like a kick in the pants. What? Tell us about it.
Well,
See How They Run.
Yeah, this See How They Run is an old war horse of the theater in more ways than one. It was written during World War II.
Oh, my.
By a corporal, but the corporal was, previous to becoming a corporal, he was a theater performer.
What country are we talking?
England.
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 Okay,
England.
That's what I thought.
He lived in London, and
mm-hmm,
in my notes for the play, I point out that when the play debuted, bombs dropped during the performance. and nobody left their seats. It was December 1944. The Germans were still bombing.
Okay, so they opened the play during the war in England. In the United States, I can see it, but in London?
Well, it's interesting, the connection between World War II and the arts. Mm-hmm. For instance, Blythe Spirit, mm-hmm. it was written during World War II. And there's an interesting connection there because people were grieving for their lost relatives and loves. And Blythe Spirit is about the materialization of lost love.
Right.
So, but this one is just pure frivolity. I mean, mm-hmm. it takes place in a vicarage, which is a good thing for Good Friday, I suppose. And it concerns... it concerns mistaken identities, as farces often do. And in this case, we end up with a bunch of people dressed up as clergymen, and they can't figure out which one's the Russian spy.
Aha.
So.
Oh, you know, I didn't notice that. I'm going to grab my Coast Weekend because see how they run. My guest, Edward James' play, is on the cover and has quite an extensive write-up, too. So, I see. They're all in black.
Yeah.
So,
some in disguise and some clergymen who have come to take the service. And
Have you done this play before?
I have done this play before. I did it when I had a dinner theater in Portland.
Okay. Is that what you were talking when you said you did 50?
Yes. Yeah, we did 50 performances of almost every show, which was terrific.
Gosh. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it was.
But again, it is a profession, and then it's a job, a real one, as opposed to an avocation. A farce. I'm not sure what's going on around here, but it seems that the... I just saw a play in Ilwaco, and now last week I think the Coaster opened, and now you're opening, and they are all plays that forced me to laugh. I could not stop myself from laughing.
Well, Noises Off is owes much to See How They Run. In fact, all of British comedy owes a debt to See How They Run. You can hear Monty Python. You can hear Cook and Moore.
Really?
Remember Cook and Moore? Peter Cook, Dudley Moore.
Right, absolutely.
I mean, you can really hear it in the lines here. And in fact, some of the same lines are in Noises Off that are in this play.
Wow.
And the stage direction, Noises Off, is from this play.
How did that happen? Why?
Well, just the evolution of theater. And See How They Run it has been called by some the funniest play in the English language. Maybe before Noises Off, but it's such a different kind of humor. It's like a combination between P.J. Woodhouse and Molière.
Oh,
there are stock characters. Mm-hmm. There's the comic maid and the scandalmongering spinster. Mm-hmm. And
is there much physical theater in this?
There is quite a bit of physical comedy
also
in it. See How They Run. You got to come and see how they run.
Oh, I am planning to come.
And See How They Run, of course, comes from Three Blind Mice.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was wondering since you said so much is based on this. I'm wondering who was Philip King who wrote this?
Philip King was a corporal in the...
Oh, he's the guy who was the...
Yeah, but he was a theater professional before the war started. And this was kind of his first play.
And being in the war... was this something he had to do just to keep his sanity, do you think, or just...
Well, think of the big bands in this country during the war. I mean, they kept producing and mm-hmm. people kept going mm-hmm. to things. I don't know what happened to theater in this country, or movies were still being produced. Mm-hmm. And
but this country was removed, even though people had relatives... The war was going on over there, and over there was England included.
I often think of England and think of how much what their sacrifice was compared to ours.
Absolutely.
Even the notion of spinsters.
Oh, gosh.
You know, the notion of spinsters comes from the fact that the English had been involved in two wars, and so many of the men had been killed in those wars. Mm-hmm. So England was full of spinsters. As a, it also takes place in a village, which is kind of a different. Lots of English theater, English television series take place in villages, which are a little bit different. You know, villages have personalities of their own, and and the powers that work in villages.
Speaking as a Brown's Meat person, yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, exactly.
So who have you got? How many folks are there?
Well, there are nine people in it, which is, you know, is about as many as I can do. Well, when I had my own theater, nine was about as many as we could pay. So often I chose plays with nine and under. There are a number of people who worked with me before. Barry Sears, Bob Goldberg, Justin Germond. Richard Brackey is brand new to the theater. David Baumgartner, I've never met before this play, and he's is very interesting actor. Patricia Von Vintage and Dawson Yukon Shad, Ashley Mundell are all Shanghai veterans. And J.C. Williams is, she's done some theater. She was in Jenny Newton's class, and she's a sailor.
Oh, how fun.
She's a sailor. In fact, at the age of 13 months, I think it is, her father and mother and her traversed from Hawaii to here in a schooner.
Oh, wow.
And he's one of the, I think he's one of the big wigs at Mertz.
Okay. Let me ask you, when you, so you had auditions for this.
Yep.
Open auditions.
Yep.
And when you choose your cast, can you give us, for those people who haven't done theater, something that you use to bring people together, character development or a setting or some kind
of
theater?
I'm kind of more technically oriented because comedy doesn't require great character development.
Okay.
You know, and neither does mystery. Mystery because mystery is plot, plot driven.
Good point.
I really think about language and there are only so many ways to get the laugh. Not everybody is a natural comedian. Not everybody can tell a joke. Two of my funniest friends, I would get them on stage and they could not, they were not funny on stage.
Yeah.
We'd go out together and they were the funniest people I knew. But I think comedy is like music. You know, it has a tempo, a tone, and an inflection. Why did the chicken cross the road? To get to the other side. I mean, you listen to Groucho Marx and you hear Mae West, W.C. Fields. They had a particular tempo and tone, you know, and the same applies here. It's the way that plays are written. They have, you put an extra syllable in a line and the joke doesn't happen.
Wow.
She's gone back to the closet. She's gone back into the closet. She's gone back to the closet works, but she's gone back into the closet doesn't work. So I think a lot
That's a lot to think about.
You know, it's my talent as a director is I have the greatest hearing in the world. I mean, I have great ears for what something sounds like and the nuances in people's voices.
Well, that's one of the things I was wondering about. When you have a cast, and comedy is hard. You know, people think, oh, well, it's funny. So what's the big... It's hard
dying
because...
Dying is easy. Comedy is hard.
Yeah, good. Yeah. And the thing is, if it doesn't work, it really doesn't work.
Yeah.
but timing, as you were saying, tempo, timing, going back and forth, and the people do have to be tight. They have to...
And this one also includes dialects, which there's a couple Cockneys and a number of English people and two Americans. You know, the Americans in England during the war year were their own thing. I mean, they're partly, that's part of the conflict of the play is the spinster in the piece is complaining about the vicar's American wife who wears trousers in public.
Oh, you know? God forbid.
So, so, I mean, that's the level of scandal that is in the play.
Right,
you know?
Right. The play is See How They Run by Philip King. My guest is Edward James, the director. Edward is also a programmer here, Kaleidoscope, 3 o'clock on Wednesdays, although he was absent because he was working on the play. Yep. So we've missed you. I'm glad you're back. I heard you this week, and that was great. And this play opens tonight at the Astor Street Opry Company. The phone number there is 503-325-6104. People can get tickets.
I think they have an online presence now too. If you go to Astor Street Opry Company .org or com, mm-hmm. and I think you can find tickets there.
Yeah, and usually they have assigned seats. So if you know where you like to sit in that space, it's a good idea to get your tickets in advance. The show does run all the way through April 28th, Fridays and Saturdays at 7, and then there are two matinees, April 8th and April 22nd at 2 p.m. Wow. I'm not going to tell you to break your leg because you don't have to be on stage. Thank you so very much, but congratulations on the show. I'm really looking forward
to
seeing
it. Thank you, Carol, and thank you for your show. Your show is the greatest.
Thanks. Okay, folks. I've got time for some music from our good friend Catherine Clare. She's doing a double gig coming up. She's doing a workshop at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center from 1 to 3 on Saturday. And then that night at the Performing Arts Center is Beth Wood, and Catherine Clare is moving over to the Adrift for an 8:30 show Saturday night. Coast Community Radio.
Turn your color up to the sky and stage I, stage I. The storm is coming and they say you'll go out. Now you're standing in the rain. I watch you through the window pane. First of May, first time I have been gone for a long time. I have seen you in between these miles and miles of green. Keep your hand steady, we were never ready to hold. Let me in, I've come to stay on this cold summer day. Hold me in the quiet of June, the morning comes too soon. In the garden where we keep these secrets buried deep, through the winter they lay still. Now we feel the chill on the first of
the music of Catherine Clare, and again, she will be at the giving a workshop from 1 to 3 Saturday at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center in Long Beach, and then at the Adrift that evening at 8:30 p.m. And for something entirely different. I have Kristen Schock here in the studio, and Kristen is the lone, I believe,
that's right,
the lone full-time art instructor at the Clatsop Community College Art Department. And there are other classes, thank goodness, but she fortunately is able to provide us with a full set of, let's see if I get it right now, drawing, painting, and design.
That's
is that
right,
it?
Yes.
Okay. However, one of the other jobs she does there is arrange a lot of the exhibits. And the one coming up, the opening is Thursday, the 5th of April, next week. But the show is going up, it looks like, on Monday. Is that true?
Right. It's actually up in the walls right now,
oh, really?
Although all the final details need to be finished up. But it's an absolutely beautiful show. I am so excited.
Okay. Now, the name of it, you're going to have to explain this to us. It's called Empathies and Energies. And we've got ceramics, prints, photos with three Oregon artists. And just again, logistically, it's up now through May 10th. I love when they stay up because then we get to go back even after the opening. And the official opening, though, is Thursday, as usual, 6 o'clock on the 5th. So what does it mean? And who are these artists? I have their names, but I didn't recognize any of them.
Okay. So this show, the title is, I think, perfectly encapsulates what the show is about. And it was actually the photographer who approached us, and the show kind of evolved from that. I think most of you are probably familiar with Frank Boyden. He is one of the featured artists, and he is the founder of the Sitka Art and Ecology Center.
Oh, that's why his name was familiar. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now, but he's the printmaker then.
He
does a little of everything.
He does a little of everything, but yes, he has, the title is kind of centered around his prints that he's showing. It's a series called The Empathies, and just really powerful psychological portraits that he's showing. He was describing the other day when he came and dropped off the work. It took him a whole year to develop this series, and they are very, very powerful dry point etchings.
So does he show at the Sitka Center as well? Or
He directs it, and so there's many workshops that are taught there. So, yes, there are rotating exhibits
as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's Frank Boyden, and he's going to be showing his prints, Empathies.
And ceramics,
too. And ceramic.
As well, yes. So
All part of
the show.
Okay.
And that's also what the energies reflects, that meaning of the firing of the pots, as well as
good.
The photographer Rich Bergman, he's showing these incredibly beautiful infrared photographs.
What is that? How does that work?
Oh gosh, I couldn't tell you the science behind it.
They are. Do just we need special glasses?
Magical?
Though,
No. But the camera itself does it through the process. And I'm sorry, I can't tell you exactly how it works, but the result is absolutely beautiful. Magical. It just completely, he does landscapes, and he follows in the footsteps of the pioneers, for example. And so they are just incredibly ghostly and beautiful.
Now, are they black and white and gray?
Black and white. Black and white. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then who's Renee McKitterick?
She's also
ceramics.
She is, and they both are from Ohio, coincidentally, both Rich Bergman and Renee McKitterick. And she also went to school in New Mexico. And so she is head of the art department in Lynn Benton, and she teaches ceramics and sculpture and art appreciation out there.
So how did this show, Empathies and Energies, come together?
How did, Well, it was actually Rich Bergman who approached us, interested in showing his photography. And we typically like to show ceramics during this particular time frame mm-hmm. in the gallery. Mm-hmm. And so we requested that it be a group show. And so Rich suggested Renee. And then I believe it was Richard Rowland who wanted to invite Frank Boyden into the mix.
Okay, so this is really a group.
It's a group show.
Show. Right, right. And they're all now Oregon artists. Does Rich teach somewhere as well?
You know, or is he an independent? He used to be the gallery director at Lynn Benton. And so his connection with Renee.
Okay. So these are all basically professional artists.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And did they have a connection with Clatsop College before?
Well, you know, a few years ago, Richard organized a round robin exhibit of faculty work, and that's how Rich Bergman became acquainted with our department and
that's
those
great.
Connections.
Yeah, yes. That was nice because our artists went there and and everybody moved around. And this is all at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery, and you say it's up now, but all the details aren't.
Well, the tags will be up on Monday. It officially opens on Monday, but you can peek through the windows today.
If you happen to be
the lights aren't done quite yet.
Right. And the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery is all the way up now. Everything's open up there, so you can just drive up 16th and take a left and then find parking below. Or you can drive up 14th and take a left and go up the hill and find your way around. Just explore a little bit. There's actually a lot of parking. Or if you live in the neighborhood, just walk on over because it's terrific. So when you... Did you hang the show or put the show together? Or
no, I didn't hang the show. In fact, I had to go out of town, so I wasn't even around. Well, actually, they hung it this week, and it's absolutely beautiful. The artists themselves hung it with David Homer, our gallery assistant.
That's wonderful. So, yes. Wonderful. So all the artists came. That is different.
Every now and then, it's really nice when the artists install because, of course, they can bring their own vision.
I'm thinking, though, for them, it's also some surprises when they see each other's work. Although they know each other, they don't know what they're bringing to this show. So they all
right, and
it's
always amazing how everything comes together. It's a really incredibly beautiful and cohesive show.
And the ceramics, Renee's and Frank's ceramics, are they...
wood-fired Anagama?
They are. Oh.
Not all of them, I don't believe.
And are they on posts or some of them wall hang?
Renee's has some wall hangings that are just really gorgeous. Feminine forms. They're just, they really struck me. They're so striking.
Okay, folks, this is happening again at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery at Clatsop College. And it is, the opening is the 5th. Of April. How did it get to be April already? But it did. Well, it didn't yet. Not until Sunday.
We're almost there.
Almost. Let's not rush us. And so, but if you're in the neighborhood now, you can check it out now. The show opens on the 2nd, which is Monday, and runs through May 10th. What's going to be after that, Kristen?
Well, it's our big grand finale of the year, the annual student show. So,
and when is that?
That will be opening on the 17th, I believe, if my memory serves. Of May. Yes.
Okay. So, there's no break in there between this show till the 10th, and then the next show opens on the 17th. It's great. It's a little out of the way for some folks, but it's a wonderful space, and it's wonderful to be up there looking out over the river and the mountains. So, Kristen Schock, do you ever have a time to do art these days?
Well, my mom just came into town, and so I'm going to be busy with her. And so I wanted to say hello at Clatsop Care if they're listening out there.
Okay. Boy, that's maybe you can help some art therapy out at Clatsop Care. There you go.
I would love to do that.
There you go. Just add one more job. And your classes are in it working?
That's right. We start the term on Monday, so really looking forward to that.
Oh, boy, next week is a big week. Okay, show opens, classes open, and there's lots going on in the art department. I know Nancy Cook's got some stuff going. Do you know what her classes are?
I know she's teaching a special class this next term, but...
Yeah. I also, it's in my computer, which is not open, so I can't give you details, but check it out, folks. There's lots of good stuff up at the college. And there'll be more good stuff when the arts are returned to the community, too. Thanks so much for coming in, Kristen.
Thank you, Carol. Hope to see everyone on April 5th at our opening of the show.
Okay. It's going to be great. And I've got some music. I am not quite sure. I think... I'm not really sure who's here, so I'm going to put on some music from Shekpi with a brand new album. Have a listen.
Well, they call me Cornbread Maxwell, if you can believe that. Ever since I was just a young man, they called me Cornbread around my house. They never call me Cedric, which is my God-given name, after all. Even my mama, bless her heart, she called me Cornbread. Say, Cornbread, take the garbage out. Cornbread, do the dishes, please. You're such a good boy. Cornbread, when you finish that, could you mow the lawn? But she never called me Cedric, which is my God-given name after all. It must have been all that cornbread I ate when I was just a little fella. My mama, she'd make it up fresh every afternoon after my chores were done. She'd fix it up for me with a lot of butter and honey dripping all over it. She put a bib around my neck because she knows how I am. So I just get that cornbread in my hands and up to my face, and I would sop it up like it. Oh, that good cornbread, yeah.
Well, I don't know why he doesn't like being called Cornbread. What's the matter with Cornbread? Geez, Joey.
That's not my God-given name. It's Cedric. No, it isn't.
It's not.
Really.
Your God-given? Is that what you call your mother and father?
Really, it's not truly autobiography.
I see.
It's more like a biography. But let's say it's more like a novel.
Well, the voice you're hearing is quite familiar. And that would be Joey Patinon, who's been around Coast Community Radio, KMUN, since when, Joey? Joey?
Yes, ma'am. I'm not hearing anything.
Take those off.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you don't need earphones when you're on that side. How long have you been around KMUN?
KMUN, I began volunteering and doing my blues show right after Pierce retired from the air when he moved to Sand Point, I think.
So when's that?
Idaho.
Ish.
That's 2000.
Okay.
That was the year 2000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the other voice that you're about to hear is Mike Metzner, who is known to many folks as Shecky. And he can tell you where he got that name. I have no idea. But it's certainly one of a kind around here, whereas Mike... You could be just about anybody.
Yeah.
Right?
I would love to make up a story about how he got his name.
Please
do. He may not like that. So.
Well, the story is, when I was in Bond Street, we were playing the Hong Kong, if you may remember, every
of
weekend
course.
A long time ago. And we were talking about blues names, and I said, yeah, I'll probably end up with a name like Shecky or something. And then Joey's like, that's it. And then, many variations of that. I tried to get it to go to Sheck, but everybody started calling me Shrek. And I said, this is good. Never mind.
Oh, I did see Sheck written somewhere, and I thought, what happened? They lost part of it. Now I'm beginning to understand.
Yes.
Well, the fun part is people spell it any which way.
That's right.
We spell it S-C-H-E-C-K. So But
good
you can,
enough.
As long
good
as
enough.
You say it,
right.
you'll get there. Congratulations
you.
To you two. This is so exciting. They have a brand new album, and it looks beautiful. It's called Shekpi Live at the Voodoo Room.
Self-explanatory.
And, yes, for those people who live around here, it is.
Yes.
But for others, we should tell them the Voodoo Room is a wonderful music. It's a bar and music venue here in Astoria, part of the Colombian Cafe and the Colombian Theater on the corner of 11th and Marine Drive.
Very funky chic.
Funky chic.
Room.
Well, it's chicier now than it was a
yes,
year
ago.
Yes,
that's right. A little less funk, a little more chic.
I call
now.
It raggedy hipster.
There
well,
you go.
Not quite as raggedy as it used to be.
But
hipster
it's
raggedy.
Still, it's full of all kinds of art from
yes.
all over the place.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Uriah and Janine's place. And is it just the two of you on this album?
No, we're joined at the Voodoo Room. We're a duo,
uh-huh.
and Joe, but we're joined at the Voodoo Room by Josh Bear on upright bass, who's the bartender there.
Right.
And then Jeff Carden on snare drum.
Oh, okay.
So that's, you know, it's when we're at the Voodoo Room, and that's our little band thing
right.
happening, but we're a
but
duo.
You play there every Wednesday night, don't you?
We used to play.
We did.
Yeah, we used to play every
oh,
Wednesday,
okay.
But we got busy doing other stuff, and, you know, it's hard to maintain a Wednesday, a weekly thing and keep it fresh and live all the time, so we thought it'd be better to do it once a month.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I approached Josh about having other people do Wednesday, so we keep Wednesdays going. So now it's going to be every Wednesday, first Wednesday, it's Shekpi. Every second Wednesday, it's Monica, the band Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And then every third Wednesday, it's Ted Brainerd's band,
nice.
The Blacktops.
Right.
And every fourth nice. Wednesday is Jackson Andrews.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Right.
So every Wednesday night, you can find good music at the Voodoo Room
somebody
in Astoria.
Every week, yeah.
And probably it starts at 9-ish because
we
they
start at 9 because of the movie.
Movie
yes.
theater
yeah.
upstairs, so you don't want to. Oh, that's fabulous. I love it because, you know, it's nice to have good music.
It's a hip little scene, too.
Yes. Surprised at
yeah.
how
it's
many
intimate.
People really were disappointed when we stopped playing
yeah,
there
I'm
every
sure.
week because they kind of formed a clubhouse
right.
there on Wednesdays.
Right. Yeah. So how long have you two been playing together?
Ooh, 1993 or 4?
I think that's when 93 is when I... Actually, 92 is when I subbed for Spud a couple
the first
times.
Time.
I used to be in a band called Crackpots, and we did a couple double
oh, yeah.
bills, and then I ended up subbing for Spud, and then Spud went to St. Croix
mm-hmm.
in 93 for like 6 months, and Joy's like, you want to come to Astoria and play
the
homecoming? I got a room for you.
Okay.
I was like, I'm on it. I'm out of here, because
so,
I was ready to leave Portland.
Weren't you guys... aren't you both part of Bond Street Blues Band?
We are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which,
that's the band that I was recruited
right,
to sub
right.
for.
Bond Street
Spud,
Blues
yeah.
Band.
Because they used to play all the time. I still have my T-shirt. Bond Street Blues. It's
those
my KMUN T-shirt.
Those are collector's
yeah, yeah.
pieces
there
now.
You go.
There's
yeah.
very few of them still threadbare. Not
See?
Threadbare.
Yeah,
yes.
well, that's because I take good
yeah.
care. But it's wonderful because every once in a while the band... comes out for something.
Yes,
for
we've been
some...
trying to do once a year now.
Yeah.
Just we're going to try to do Halloween this year.
Oh, yeah.
At
that'd be
the
fun.
Sand Trap in
mm-hmm.
Astoria.
Nice.
Right.
Halloween Bond Street reunion Grim Reaper tour.
Yeah.
but before some of us, we're all in walking frames pretty soon, and then it's like, yeah, well, I don't know.
Tell us about this new album, and whose photography is
Kathy.
Kathy's
photography, my wife.
Yep.
And she did some fancy work there to kind of give it a look.
I like yeah. it. I like it.
And
no surprise
it's the
there.
Front. One scene is the front of the Voodoo Room, and
mm-hmm.
I think one scene is like a side view of the Voodoo Room.
Well, one's the outside
the marquee, and
along
then the other one.
Marine Drive, and the other
yeah.
is looking right in, which is great.
Right, looking in.
So
yeah.
Tell us about it.
Shekpi is quite yeah. different than Bond Street in that we do some blues and leaning a little more maybe on the Delta style of blues than Bond Street did. Bond
mm-hmm.
Street being more of a, I guess, a Chicago style blues band with the horn section. But we do so many different things. Mike has brought his years of studying and playing Latin music, for instance, and it's Caribbean music.
Wonderful.
So we do that, plus wonderful old American standards done in a bluesy or swing style.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very fond of, and I know other people are too, and always surprised when they come up and they hear the good music happening, and then they get a little closer and they realize it's in Spanish, right. And it's good Spanish, and it's such a treat because, again, it's rare to hear some of the stuff that you do. So I'm looking, though. I see there are a couple of original pieces here. Mike Shecky has one, and Joey has the one I just played.
Right.
And what's yours, Shecky?
Mine is it's a song that I wrote a long time ago, but then I revised it for Bond Street, and we did it a couple times. We did it a couple times, and then kind of put it on the shelf, and then I tried to kind of convert it to us, and then rewrote it a bit, and that's where it happened from that.
Well, we're gonna play more of this music
in
the
future. I'd like to mention one thing more,
sure.
Carol. It's one new thing that I brought to mm-hmm. the duo, and that is gypsy jazz. It's a new thing for me.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to learn on the
Django
guitar.
I see Django Reinhardt.
I'm kind of proud of it. So
And Joey is now, how often do you do that show, the Django?
Once a month. The fourth Friday of the month.
It's
Django's
terrific.
Caravan.
Yeah, Django's Caravan. It's terrific and on Friday evenings. Very exciting. Okay. Did I forget to mention, you can be there. Well, you know, because it's Wednesday night. It's the 4th of April. That's coming up this coming week.
Yes.
It is their CD release party at the Voodoo Room. That's 11th and Marine Drive. Be there, catch their act, buy their album, and celebrate with a couple of local friends who've been playing music for a long time. And I am just delighted, and it looks good, it feels good,
sounds good,
and it's most important, sounds good.
My friend Steve Johnson recorded us, by the way. He had just gotten a brand new live recording rig, and he did a wonderful job on his first recording.
Oh, cool.
Live recording. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, congratulations again, my guests, Michael Shecky Metzner, and Joey Pee-wee Patnaud. Together they make Sheck P, and that's spelled P-E-A. I wasn't sure. This coming Wednesday. I had to check in with Kat.
I had to keep it clean.
Wednesday at the Voodoo Room for their CD release party, Sheck P live at the Voodoo Room. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay, I'm going to put something on, and then I'm going to switch it out because my last guest is here. But first, here's a little bit of music from Beth Wood. And Beth is playing at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center this Saturday. She's a terrific troubadour.
Here on the ledge, I'm dancing with these questions. Where are you going next? From this point of intersection, and I know it's time to go, but I feel so comfortable here on the ledge. Can I hear the voice of reason? I made my faithful pledge, but it changes with the season. Clarity has made a fool of me, 'cause I feel so comfortable here on the ledge. I tiptoe to the edge. Ooh. And time was after me, was off to the races. I was running aimlessly. Yeah, she put me through the paces. I will admit that the heart of it have been so comfortable in time was after.
And that is Beth Wood. Again, she'll be at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center in Long Beach this Saturday night. Remember, Catherine Clare is doing a workshop in the afternoon, then heading over to the Adrift, which is late. So you can do it all. Here we go again. You can hear Beth Wood at 7 and then head over to the Adrift to catch Catherine. You can go to one of the many plays that are happening. Lots happening right here in the Pacific Northwest corner of the Columbia and the Pacific Ocean. My last guest is here, and that would be Nick Stephens, and he organizes shows, all-age shows, at the Armory Skate Park. Is that right?
So if you know about the Armory Skate Park, there's the main entrance, but we're actually on the backside, which is like kind of the subfloor basement area.
So is that Duane?
Yeah, 17th okay. And Duane.
Duane and 17th.
Right across the street from the Bow Picker.
There you go. Yeah. Because if you go to Exchange and 17th, you won't find them. But if you go to Duane, boy, will you find them.
Oh, yeah.
Because this music is going to be very, very present.
Oh, yeah.
So, Nick, tell us about it. You got a show on the 5th of April. That's Thursday evening.
Ooh, yeah.
Indie rock, pop, etc. from Seattle.
Ooh, yeah. So all three bands are coming down from the Washington, Seattle area, some from Anacortes and all around the Puget Sound. But these three groups are just really, really incredible. The two groups on tour right now are Brianna Morella and Everending Kicks, and they both make this fantastic pop music, which is like, it's like what you might hear on some like big radio station, but it's like unique and special in the kind of the indie music way. So I don't know how to describe it other than that it's just like phenomenal and kind of,
and people better show up.
Yeah, people
find out for themselves, right?
Seriously. Yeah.
So what time does that show start on a Thursday night?
On Thursday we're gonna start at about 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And we got three acts. There's Flying Fish Cove. They're kind of like an indie rock band. Then Brianna Morella playing her like expansive contemporary pop stuff, and Everending Kicks, who also kind of layer it up with.
So is amazing. Brianna Morella a band or just one person?
She's one person. She self-produces and has worked with some really amazing producers. And
so that's quite a variety you got there, though.
Yeah.
With groups and solo. Okay, now, that's not enough for you, of course. So the following Monday, the 9th of April, you're doing another show.
Right.
But this one's going to be a lot louder, I think, because it's a metal show.
Yeah, this one is pretty extreme. It's going to be, as you know, if you've been around listening to some of the Clatsop County music for a while, the band Pinkzilla might ring a bell to you because they've been around forever.
Right.
And I think some of those guys were doing shows here on KMUN like way back when.
Do you have any names for who's in Pinkzilla?
Oh, yeah. Nate Overholzer, who was here doing KMUN stuff when we were really young.
Oh, yeah. When Skylar... you were really young, not me, honey.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Skylar Wells.
Oh, sure.
And Donovan Allen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. But they don't live here. I mean, Skylar doesn't live here now, does he?
Yeah, he just moved back from Utah to Portland.
You see, to Portland.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you see, folks, we're bringing in our young, our former youths,
right?
Because Astoria is such a hot place. So that's Pinkzilla is going to start.
That's their reunion show, actually.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
And then they're followed by an L.A. band called Witchhaven.
Yep, yep.
I love these two names. They go together so well. Pinkzilla and Witchhaven.
Yeah, it kind of conjures up some kind of sci-fi stuff.
Absolutely. So that also starts at 8-ish or?
8-ish, 9-ish.
Okay.
Kind of more of a, there's only two bands for that show, so we could start a little later.
Right, right. And these are all age, am I right?
Yep.
Yeah.
All ages.
So people just show up, and Duane and 17th, the Armory Skate Park shows. And you've been doing this for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, constantly booking shows. I think there's even a show tonight, but I'm not in on that one. That's at the skate park also. But yeah, constantly doing shows at the skate park. If you're in an act and you want to play the skate park, hit us up on
How
Facebook.
How do they contact?
We use our Facebook Messenger for a lot of booking.
What do they look for on Facebook?
Just look for Armory Skate Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you Facebook people know how to do that. I have no idea. So, okay.
Yeah.
So,
colorful email.
There, yeah, right, exactly. And before the skate park existed, I know you were always looking for places to do shows.
Oh, yeah.
This is pretty cool, though, huh?
It's
now
nice
that this
to have
is
something.
Happening, there's yeah. a space where...
Yep, and as long as the Armory lets us do shows there, then we will. And but we're always open to new stuff. I mean, my band's playing a little show tonight at the Labor Temple, so we're not exclusively doing stuff at Armory.
Right.
We like to
Labor Temple's a whole new space too, though, for certain things, right? With the new ownership. What's your band?
Oh, I'm playing in a band called The Stuffed Shirts.
That somehow doesn't fit you very well.
No, it's a different style, but it's kind of just a new project going on that me and some friends are spearheading. And
nice. What time is that tonight?
Tonight we're playing at 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, folks, you've got your whole weekend and week. You know what to do. My guest, Nick Stephens. That's you can go to the Armory Skate Park Facebook, and you'll find him, or he'll find you.
Yep.
And that's a great idea. I appreciate that you put the word out, tell people how to, if they've got something going.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
terrific. Okay, Nick, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having
me. And there's lots more going on, too. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. And I wanted to play some other music, but kind of ran out of time. So I hope you'll, here's a little more music from Beth Wood in the background. And tonight, Asda Street Opry Company opens See How They Run, as you know, Coaster Theater, Noises Off, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 this weekend. The Liberty has Pigs on the Wing. That is a Pink Floyd tribute band. They're going to do The Dark Side of the Moon at 7:30. 12th and Commercial, the phone number there is 325-5922 with a 503 in front. Horsenecks are playing at the Adrift on Friday night. That's tonight. And then Saturday they'll be at the Workers' Tavern, 281 West Marine Drive. And if you were listening to TMF, that's Thursday Morning Folk, you might have heard them. They're fabulous. Bluegrass with a bluegrass edge. Sweet Basils is featuring Maggie and the Cats tonight. And then Adams and Costello tomorrow night. And you just heard from Nick. The Stuffed Shirts are at the Labor Temple tonight. And tomorrow, the Iwako Library has an art display. Troll Radio Review is happening with Bob Lennon and Victoria Kingsbury and the Troll Radio House Band. That's at 11 a.m. upstairs in the Fort George Brewery and the pizza place. Everyone is welcome. Children can come and dance. Seaside Convention Center has little libraries from 5 p.m. on. It's an auction. If you want to know more about that, go to coastradio.org and podcast of Talk of Our Towns. Donna interviewed them. And the Peninsula Performing Arts Center, Beth Wood tomorrow night. Public Coast Brewing Company, 7 o'clock, has Indie Rock with Nate Botsford in Cannon Beach. North Beach Tavern is in Long Beach with Walkin' West and George Coleman. Columbia Theater in Longview has Flannel Fest, Pearl Jam Tribute, and Alice in Chains. Nick knows what that is. I have no idea. Catherine Clare, of course, at the Adrift Saturday night with the Peninsula Pack Workshop. Cannon Beach Gallery has an opening at 6 o'clock with Gary Walbeck, Scott Johnson, and Beth Robinson in the details. Hoffman is the 6th edition release of the North Coast Squid, which is wonderful writing publication. And Iwako Knit Fitty Gallery, noon to 2 at the Iwako Timberland Library. On on Tuesday, we have Rick's Poetry open mic at the Winecraft. There's also an AAUW Candidates Forum together with the Daily Astoria, and that's at Astoria High School. Wednesday, Sheck P. release, 9 o'clock at the Voodoo Room. And Martin Luther King Jr., it's 50th anniversary. Maybe you were there too. And it's a prayer service, 7 o'clock at Grace Episcopal with music. And Thursday, Clatsop College Art opening, Seaside Library author and the Armory Pop Rock Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5. And thank you so much for being here, coastradio.org.